Welcome back to the OPEX podcast. On today's episode, I am rejoined by OPEX CEO, Jim Kroll. On today's episode, Jim and I reflect on the 2019 year for OPEX, and we discuss the 2020 goals for OPEX moving forward. Guys, this was a great discussion with Jim, and I hope you really enjoy it. Jim, we are recording. Thanks so much for making time. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you? I see looks a little cold over there right now.
Yeah, it's been a little bit chilly the last 2 days, but the weather actually has been lovely. Lovely crisp winter day, like lovely sun. But I think we're getting more traditional Irish weather now for the rest of the week with a bit of rain. But sure, listen, as I've been saying for, I'd say, the last 12 to 18 months, man, I'm from a first world country. I live in a first world country. I don't have problems. I have privileges. So everything's great.
Good, man. That's good to hear.
So as I said to you just before we hopped on there, I can't believe it's been a whole year since we went through the review of 2018 and looking forward to 2019. So that's kind of what I wanted to discuss with you today. So I listened back to our episode from this time last year, and your big takeaway from 2018 and one of your goals for 19 was to become very clear on the message of OPEX. One thing you were saying is you wanted it to be a situation where if you spoke to an OPEX gym in one particular area of the world and you went to another area of the world where another OPEX gym was and you asked them what is OPEX, they would give you the exact same answer in terms of its individualized fitness and its individualized fitness for life. And you spoke with the group model and you spoke about a big goal for you in 2019 was getting more clear on your message, also getting very clear on the message and the services of what Big Dogs offered in comparison to OPEX as a coaching education service. So how did 2019 go? How did your metrics go? How did your goals go? What were your biggest learnings and what are the goals for 2020?
I think it's good to remember the 2018 or the end of 2018 goals because the messaging was a big problem for us. You know, looking back 2 years from, 2 years ago, I just remember thinking it's like, nobody knows what we do. And I think that we have handled that very effectively in 2019. And if I look at what we continue to be, OPEX is coaching education. And I'm putting the gyms inside of that category, right? Like what we're really, really good at is educating coaches. And so we've continued to structure the gyms program to be a continued ascent of that life cycle. And so for people who want to be an OPEX facility and continue to do individual design, it's an ongoing, let's just call it metamorphosis for their coaching education. And that's what we do really, really, really well. And so to go back to your point about simplicity, OPEX is coaching education. You know, and it just kind of comes down to that, you know, and I think that we can have that conversation. And of course, in the gyms, it's personalized fitness. What we have continued to nail down in the gyms, though, is that it's cost-effective small group personal training. So it's like that's really what we've come to the conclusion of, you know, approximately that describes what's happening inside of an OPEX gym. Because people understand those terms. In 5 years, when personalized fitness is really a thing, just think about personalized medicine, that didn't used to be a thing. When personalized fitness is a thing, we won't have to say small group, you know, cost-effective small group personal training, but we do now because it connects to the end consumer who's the person going into an OPEX gym. For OPEX coaching education, I think that we're now really clear. And if I look at what we've done over this past year, it's been, maybe you haven't seen it externally as much, but internally we've completely rebuilt the education system, completely rebuilt it from the ground up. And what we're going to launch, actually, the timing's really funny, next week internally and then 2 weeks from now externally, is we're going to launch brand new CCP. And that is going to be a game changer for all of our coaches. And it's something that we're just going to give any coach who's ever signed up for CCP before. So the reason why that's so interesting is particularly between what Carl and James have been working on, we now have implementation and resources and tools inside of CCP, which we've always been really known for the principal side of it. And of course, the principles are still there. But now we've got a lot more resources on how do I do it? How do I implement it? How do I see OPEX as a methodology to implement into my gym, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's going to be a really big game changer. And again, to go to simplicity, Robbie, CCP now means coach, client, professional. So that's how the course is laid out now. There's a section on the coach. So the person taking the course goes through an OPEX experience to get them understanding of what individual design really means. They then go through all the principles of coaching and the knowledge, and we've added a lot of science into it. So there's a lot more touch points on the scientific side of it. Not so crazy that you can't understand it, but boiled into really useful knowledge. Then when you get into the client section, that's the entire OPEX methodology and how to implement it into practice. So it's literally, here's what you do on assessment session number one. Here's how you do a consult. Here's how you reconsult somebody. Here's how you understand how to implement a program design and go from an assessment to a program design. And then when you get into the professional, I'm still teaching the professional, that's how to make everything more efficient, how to make everything more consistent, how to make everything more scalable, growable, et cetera. So the new CCP is going to be an extremely nice upgrade for anybody who has either taken it or the new coaches that are coming in and are going to take it. And that's why we're just going to give it to people, because we want them to have the most up-to-date information. So the education platform has been severely upgraded. Of course, we launched Mixed Modal with James for, you know, high-end coaching of CrossFit athletes and fitness athletes. And then as well, we put the specialty stance around it. So everything around CCP now offers a specialty track. So if you take CCP and then you take Mixed Modal, you are a fitness athlete specialist. And if you take our movement course, you're now a movement specialist. And we've got, you know, a course or two that I'll leave off of this podcast, but we've got some stuff planned for 2020 I think that people are going to really like. And of course, we put the movement course in as well. So I'm really happy with how the education platform has been built up. And 2020 is a lot more about yelling it from the top of a mountain, you know, so that everybody kind of knows who we are and what we do. And we continue to move more into the mainstream fitness market, you know, fitness for life. And so people needed to have that message boiled down and simplified and clearly laid out. And I think that we've done that really effectively. And you've seen all the changes that we've made to the brand, and the imagery and the social media has been upgraded tremendously by the team. And we'll continue to do that. On the big dog side of things, I think that it's now much more clear. And I think part of that's just time, right? Like, it just took a little while, I think, for people to be like, oh, got it. Okay, so big dogs is remote coaching and OPEX is coaching education. It's like, okay, now I got it, right? And hey, it's ultimately on my and our shoulders to make sure that people are clear about that. But I think that people have a much more clear understanding of how that works. And of course, Big Dogs has gotten a massive rebrand, website update, social update, et cetera. The team's been working hard on that. And I think just across the entire company, we continue to search for the things that we're not doing well enough. I think we're pretty good at that. And I think that we will continue to do that, because you just, in my opinion, you can't be stagnant and you can't just assume that everything is going well. So I think that 2019 was a good year, but you know, I have a list of 20 things that I don't think that we did well. And so I want to make sure that we're upgrading all of those pieces. And ultimately, for like, if I'm looking at it from an OPEX standpoint, we want to make coaches' lives easier. So I keep coming back to this statement. We want to help coaches make more money and spend less time doing it. And so the gym's model has to do that. And we worked a ton on efficiencies in 2020. We gave them, so now we give gyms all their social, well, they don't have to use all of them, but we give them social media assets. We give them images. We give them this huge SEO piece to put into their websites to get more people to their websites. We're always testing out social media paid strategies. We want to make sure that we're giving them the tools to implement how they see fit. And ultimately, it's on them to implement it, right? And I think all of our gyms are very clear that it's on them to implement it. And then if I go back over to the big dog side, we are working hard to make sure that people understand just how good our coaches are. That's our differentiation in big dogs, right? Is like, we actually personalize a program. There's a lot of people who say they're personalizing programs out there, but we can clearly define how we're doing it and the communication, the relationships that are built between the clients and the coaches. And if there's one thing that I know, it's that our coaches are really good. So we need to continue to tell those stories because that's what end consumers remember the best. And you know, this kind of just goes back and forth company to company, but that's what we're working on between, you know, both sides of it. And you know, we're always trying to upgrade, well, frankly, everything. and so for me, it's like, if I look at some of my big objectives in 2020, it's really about telling the world more and more about who we are because we have the platforms built. We spent a lot of time and resources getting them built out. We spent a lot of time and resources getting alignment and connection internally so that we can roll these things out. And 2020 has a pretty cool game plan to do that, I think.
So for me, 2019 sounds like it was a year of refinement.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
And another sort of, I don't know, it's more so of a quote or just sort of a statement that was going through my mind as you were answering my question there, was kind of this sort of concept of happy but never satisfied. You know, you're happy with the work you're doing, you know, it's fulfilling, but you still want more. You're not satisfied. You're still hungry to know that this still can be better. So yeah, definitely get that sort of sense off you. Jim, one thing just, there's one question here that came up in my mind there as you were answering as well was, when do you know that sort of line between this message needs to be simple, but not so dumbed down that it's kind of losing its essence from, let's say, an OPEX education standpoint? Because I have seen the OPEX CCP program evolve from what it was initially in 2012 with the first rollout to what it was in 2017. And even just from the 2.0 model to the 1.0 model, you could see how you guys were trying to sort of refine the model and kind of put it out in a more sort of manageable way. Because again, it's so much information. I mean, anyone who knows James knows like that brain is just full of so much information. But you know, say like the 17 model or the 2.0 model came out with the sort of the gain, pain and sustain to kind of describe sort of, you know, alactic strength training, lactic and aerobic. And to me, it was like, that's very clever. And then you had, you know, OPEX move versus OPEX, you know, body versus, yeah, all that type of stuff as well. So you kind of had these categories, which was very clever. So in terms of always going back and refining the education resources, how do you guys balance that sort of, we know it could be probably better in terms of how we put the message out, but we still don't want to like lose the essence of what makes it a special sort of educational resource.
Yep. One of the biggest reasons why we implemented the specialty course track was to continue that simplicity, right? So if I want to go down the rabbit hole, I can do it in 20,000 different places in fitness. And what CCP is not 40,000 feet deep of one topic. What CCP is it teaches a coach how to coach people. Mm-hmm. And so we need to put the information together in the most digestible way so that if a coach walks through CCP, they can walk out of it saying, I know exactly how I'm going to implement this into my facility. And so I think that we need to do that in the most simple way possible. And so when you're saying dumbing down, I think I'm saying something slightly differently. All the information can be contained in it, but the coach needs to walk out with a deep understanding of this is how I do it. Mm-hmm. So all of the why and the deep knowledge behind it needs to be a part of it because that informs the how. So I want the message to be as simple as possible. And then the supplementary data, knowledge, experiences that they gain simply need to structurally make their education more concrete. And so I think if I kind of look at this thing, that's to me the brilliance of what James did is the simplification. And I think that if we go to CCP V1, he simplified the principles. So he simplified all that scientific data into saying, this is what coaching theoretically should look like. 2017 was a massive upgrade in the delivery of all of the principles 2019 is a massive upgrade, not only in the delivery of the principles, but also in the execution of the system. And the reason we've done that is because we sensed that it wasn't efficient enough. It wasn't clear enough for a coach. So just like any other company out there, we're trying to investigate what's working really, really well and what's not. And so where OPEX has always gotten accolades is, God, you guys are smart when it comes to science and principles and coaching education. It's like, yep. But nobody ever gave us accolades for, you guys are so good at teaching people how to do this. And so now the new CCP teaches the why and the how. And I think that that's going to be a complete game changer for any coach who wants to come in and understand how to coach people. And that just leads to a, you know, a trajectory and an ascent for a coach for a life cycle, right? So if you understand the how, now you can go to a specialty and you don't change your system of implementation, i.e. CCP, you take the deep dive down movement or whatever. And that's actually one of the reasons we partner with Precision Nutrition, right? It's like they do nutrition education really well. So if you want a deep dive in PN, you take CCP and then take PN, you know how, and you know the depths of, you know, nutrition. That's what we wanted to create. And so we understand where we're epically good, and we understand where we can partner with some folks who might give deep dives that are unbelievable. But if a coach doesn't understand why and how, all of that deep knowledge isn't going to be implemented. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where this whole structure came in. And we need to simplify it. So it's like CCP is the why and the how, and all the specialties are the deep dives into these different categories.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I wasn't for a second, you know, instigating that you guys were dominating down necessarily. I just think that can oftentimes be the perception, though, when people hear, oh, we need to simplify, we need to simplify. It's like in the book by the Heat Brothers, Made to Stick. And the first principle is to keep your core message simple. And they stress that does not mean that you have to dumb down your core message. It just means that you need to get to the very essence of the core message to keep it as simple as it needs to be. But that does not necessarily mean that you're dumbing your actual message down in terms of its importance. So, but I did not
take it as a shot, my friend.
I think it's more so just so the listeners know that I wasn't instigating that at all.
No, I do think it's really important, though. If I look at even the new CCP, some things that are now part of it is there's touch points on anatomy and physiology now.
Yeah.
So we are not going simpler. We're actually being much more strategic about exactly what a coach needs to understand and the depth that they need to understand it. But again, this is all for the outcome of, I know how I'm going to implement coaching with every client that I have.
Yeah, it's so funny you actually say that A&P is part of it, because I remember back last summer when James initially told me that they're going to be redoing some parts of CCP, and he asked me about an A&P module, because one of the things I said to James previously about some educational resources, and it wasn't specifically CCP we were talking about, I was just talking about general continuing education courses I go to, I always noticed that they never had sort of any introductory module to like the basic sciences, you know, to biology or physiology or anatomy. And they kind of just assumed that the people who were taking their course knew this. And then if they don't actually have that foundational knowledge, they weren't able to actually understand the why and the how. And then that's why the implementation was a barrier, because they didn't have the full sort of foundational knowledge to be able to take the principles that they were learning from a particular course or an educational resource, say like a CCP. And it's just funny that you mentioned that that's a part of the new courses, myself and James, because I was already saying that as a bugbear thing, because I know when I used to take some functional medicine courses, and like they would just assume that these people knew this physiology, and I was like, they don't, you know. And if they don't, like, they really can't fully grasp the actual full message and education that this education resource is trying to provide, because again, they're making a massive assumption that people have this foundational knowledge already. So I think that's a great thing to hear that's part of the new CCP.
And I would argue that a lot of people who take anatomy and physiology don't understand anatomy and physiology basics, which is unfortunate, but it's true, right? Like we see coaches coming out of the universities, yeah, all the time. And we ask them some basic questions on it, and either it didn't stick, or nobody in the university that they went connected it to the real world.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't give a context. They didn't give a context.
Yep, exactly.
Jim, I recently had Keith Norris from Paleo Effects on with James, and James asked a really, I thought, very profound question to Keith in terms of Paleo Effects, and he asked him, how do you know you're objectively making a difference? So I'm going to put that question to you in terms of OPEX. How are you guys measuring your impact on the coaching industry? I'm very interested to hear your intake on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty black and white on this because I'm a measure guy.
That's why I'm asking, because I know you are.
To me, our impact has to come down to, let's call it a business objective of how many coaches go through CCP, because that is what we believe is the biggest initial impact that we can make. So if we have 20,000 coaches go through CCP, they will impact, let's just call it, over their careers, 500 to 1,000 people apiece. And so 20,000 times 1,000 is whatever the number is, and that's fairly sizable impact. That would be our direct impact on people, in my opinion. However, if you notice kind of what we're doing in social and on the web, that is also impactful for people. And that's one of the things that we're doing with the OPEX Gyms site, as well as what we're doing now on Big Dogs, right? Is we're doing a lot more content that ultimately gets to the end consumer directly. And so just think about how easy it is to find information now, whether you're a client or not. It doesn't mean that you're going to get the experience of being with the Big Dogs coach or the experience of being with an OPEX coach, but you can go get your questions answered pretty easily online. And so we're putting ourselves out into that conversation in a much bigger way. So if I go privately facing would be number of coaches we impact, the number of clients we directly impact for Big Dogs, then public facing would be number of people looking at our website, particularly our blogs and our content, as well as number of people who are watching our YouTube channel because it's purely educational. So I believe that those two things are both impactful. They're just different levels of impactful, right? So if somebody's looking for some answers, we can impact them right now. If somebody really wants to up-level their life or be a coach or be coached by a really good coach, that would be the internal statistic. And so we're constantly trying to up-level those. I think if somebody tries to very grayly say, well, I'm impacting this many people, I don't think that that's clear enough. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people in the I'm air quoting right now, in the influencer world are saying that they are impacting so many people. And some are, right? Like some are, but there's a lot of people who aren't getting any engagement, you know, on their social stuff. They're not getting any people back to a website. They're not getting anybody who follows through on the message that they're pushing out. And so that to me is one of the reasons why the business components of any business are so important, is because part of what you have to do is you have to keep people ascending. Yes, there are absolutely sales measurements that are parts of that conversation. However, if you're doing it for the, again, air quotes, right reasons, it should be up-leveling your people, which is more impactful. So that's what we're constantly trying to build, but that's why, like, we're not trying to be PhD level education, because PhD level is generally more theoretical. We want people to be able to coach people, right? We want it to be implementable. So we're trying to measure that impact based on how many coaches ultimately coach people and how many consumers ultimately see what we're putting out and get valuable, albeit small, impact from it.
Just wrapping up here now, in terms of yourself personally from this year, 2019, listening back again to the episode we done this time last year, I asked you what are one of your goals for this year, and you had said to step out of the weeds, is what you kind of said, if I'm paraphrasing. You were saying that you kind of felt at times you didn't sort of step back and leave people within OPEX, the actual company itself, kind of leave them to their own business. You kind of felt you had to, you know, make sure everything was running well, and kind of probably felt you were taking on too much work responsibility when you kind of felt that, you know, that you could potentially step out a little bit and let people sort of work away at their own sort of project. How did that go? Because again, you do love to be in the weeds. You do love to be in the trenches. You know, you do love to have your fingers in all the pies. So how did that work out for you this year? Was it tough? And what are your sort of personal ambitions then for 2020?
Yeah, well, I think the better people to ask that question would be the team, right? Like, so the team would answer it very honestly. I'll try to answer it honestly, knowing that I'm going to biasly answer somehow, right? But I think that there were moments where I was deeply in the weeds. However, I think that from an annual basis, I really stepped back. And part of the reason I was able to do that is because we have other people on the team that stepped up. So I couldn't do it without them. And that has been highly beneficial. And, you know, particularly on the OPEC side, Carl Hardwick and Megan Sweet have just been fantastic. Georgia Smith, who you're seeing much more public facing, talking about these conversations. And honestly, even the rest of the team has been very, very beneficial to pull me out of that stuff. So it's not me just pulling myself out. It's them saying, I got this, go away, which has been beneficial for me. Particularly Q4, I think, you know, we got really focused on what we're going to do for a long period of time, and we executed. And really what I was doing, I know this sounds, as James would say, super reductionist, but really what I was doing is just making sure that the team was executing, right? And then I've got my hands in what's happening in 2 years, what's happening with other companies that we're working with, building up the partnership piece. And so it's been a good run and a good learning experience for me, because I don't think, you know, we're not some huge company, right? I don't have a myriad of executive vice presidents, you know, who are overseeing a bunch of different business lines, right? Like, we've got a couple of folks who ultimately oversee the whole business and both businesses. And they are doing a really good job of making sure that the objectives that we put onto the company are met. And so I think that 2020 will be better. Now, I'm an eternal optimist, right? So I always think things are going to get better, but I think that what's been put into play will foundationally make that a reality. In terms of me personally, I mean, you know me, man, as long as I'm learning consistently new things and I'm trying to always up level the size or maybe the context of what I'm learning, you know, so if I 5 years ago was learning, you know, managerial accounting to make sure that our operations were running more smoothly, now I'm learning multi-company investing, right, so that I can make sure that we're allocating resources across companies much more effectively. And I'm always learning about people, always. Because there is never any situation that's exactly like the last. And so I'm trying to make sure that I'm learning the psychological side as well as the black and white side to make sure, A, I'm looking at myself the right way, and B, I'm open-minded enough to say, well, maybe this person's not trying to be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, in a tough moment, we can always say, and this can be anybody, can be a customer, can be a worker, can be a coach, can be whatever. It's like, it feels like when things don't go your way that somebody's coming at you. And I don't think that the political environment in the world is helping that right now. And so I'm always trying to go down the rabbit hole of behavior and understanding what's real, what's not, what do I need to get fired up about, what do I don't. And I think that I've been a lot more calm. There have been moments where I haven't, but I think I've been a lot more calm in some situations that historically would have felt a lot worse. And so I think that that's just been a good learning experience for me. And I love the idea of like behavioral economics and behavioral finance. And so I've just been going ham on that stuff for the last year. So I think that I'll keep doing that.
Great stuff. What were your highlights of 2019? I know in 18, you were saying a trip to Hong Kong was one, and you were saying that was one of your highlights. What was one of the big highlights for 2019?
We did the immersion over in London, which was really, really fun. And then my wife and I snuck over to Norway for, I think, 3 days, which was awesome. Just getting to see that part of the world. you know, basically living for a couple of days on like the side of a mountain, you know, away from the entire world and just walking around and hanging out with my wife was really cool. Gosh, there's been a lot of really good moments, and there's been a lot of really good moments for people on the team too. So I think that maybe I'm maturing, right? Where I'm enjoying seeing a lot of the stuff that's potentially outside of just what I'm doing.
Great stuff. So another question I meant to ask too was, I remember last year I'd asked you about the OPEX licensed gyms and your goal for those in 2019. Did you surpass the goal that you had attained for the licensed gyms?
Not in number of gyms. So we have done a couple of things. We've actually made recruiting harder. So we've made to recruit more gyms. We're asking for things like business plans up front. We're asking for them to be done with CCP up front. And it's just because we have seen who has the most success.
Yeah.
And so we want to improve that. So we've purposely slowed things down. We've lost some gyms too for either errors that we have made or for people changing what they want to do big picture. And it's like, to each their own, right? Like, we're not going to hold any grudges on that. We just want to make sure that we're making the program the most beneficial for the coaches that we have inside of it. So we didn't hit the numbers that we wanted to hit, but I think that we made the changes that we needed to make.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's going to be more quality rather than quantity we're after here. Yeah, yep. That's actually great to hear. And I appreciate your honesty with that answer. That shows great integrity on the part of the company as well. I think we previously spoke about that. Remember when we had the Iron and Mortar guys on? I actually said that word, mortar. I've been working on it. But I remember we spoke about that in terms of, you know, the integrity of like the certification of CCP and, you know, in terms of like, you know, these courses are like, oh, just once you sign up, we'll put you on the register, you know, that say that you're certified. It's like, no, you actually have to like hand in your case studies here and prove you've actually gone through this course. So, no, I really do appreciate that that's the direction you're going in terms of the licensing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it feels better, that's for sure. So a lot of people listening to the show, I think we'll get that. It's better business too. We are not a super, super fast grower company. That's not who we are. I think anybody around us would recognize that. We want to grow very measuredly. And we want to make sure that we have customers who are with us years and years and years down the road. And so anytime that we see something that doesn't produce that, we know that we have to change something. And sometimes it goes really well and sometimes it doesn't go really well. But I think if we continue to investigate what's working and what's not, one thing we've always gotten lots of referrals and we've always gotten lots of positive commentary on all of our courses, all of our coaching mentorships and clients, you know, facing with big dogs, like we've always had really high scores there. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've been so consistent with how we've been able to grow is because our clients like what they get. Any time that we have seen something that hasn't scored almost immediately as highly, we've either massively overhauled it or dumped it. And that's, I think, what some companies, in an effort to grow really fast, they miss that. And then they wonder why they have to pay so much money to acquire so many new clients. It's because they're not keeping the ones that they had in the first place.
The three words that always come to my head when I think of OPEX are always individualized, sustainable, and lifetime. They're always the three that just come to my mind. So it's funny, just when you were just saying that we're not a fast growth company, we like to, you know, we slowly bring things. It's because we're all about being individualized, sustainable, and can we do this across an individual's lifespan? So it's always just come to my mind. Jim, you're a big reader, so I know it's a tough question. What were your top picks for this year? I know you listen to a lot of your books too, but any particular books stand out for you this year?
I've read a lot and listened to a lot this year. And again, biasly, some of the stuff is more recent. So I might have to update you offline with some of the stuff that might be 6-7 months ago. But
yeah, of course.
I've really, really enjoyed some books on behavioral economics and finance. So again, back to like Jonathan Haidt's stuff, you know, the happiness hypothesis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Richard Thaler's book, Misbehaving, is really, really good. I've really gone down the rabbit hole with Warren Buffett's style of investing. because I think that he lays out a really smart way that all management needs to allocate capital. And I think that it's much more wide-rangingly helpful for people than just picking stocks, right? I've implemented a lot of that stuff in OPEX, Big Dogs, Brandex, et cetera. I read Never Split the Difference. I think that was this year. That was really good. So a book on kind of negotiation and communication. Ray Dalio's book was quite good. Oh, I read Steven Schwarzman's book. He runs Blackstone. That's called What It Takes. That was very good as well. So I'm literally trying to remember all the books that I've read, and there's a lot of them. I think the topics that I've been most interested in are the allocation of capital and financial investing side, and really more so the Buffett methodology, because it's a little bit different than what finance courses teach, and it's more what I believe is accurate. And then the behavioral finance and behavioral economics side of things, because I think if we can understand how decisions are made, it's unbelievably powerful to how we create our own awareness and help others create their own awareness.
Absolutely. Last one for you. It's this time next year. What are you hoping you're able to tell me when I say, Jim, how was 2020?
I'm hoping 2020 is a growth year, because like you said, this year was a refinement year. So I'm hoping that our reach, you know, meaning number of people we talk to, grows. I'm hoping our partnership number grows with really aligned companies. I'm hoping that we put a bunch more coaches through CCP. I'm hoping that our gyms grow and prosper. I'm hoping that Big Dogs has a bunch of new clients who are doing great things. So I'm hoping 2020 is a tangible metric-based growth year.
Great stuff. Yeah, so 19 was the foundation. 20 is the growth year. I love it. As we'd say in periodization, we had accumulation this year, and now we're intensifying.
Yes, totally. Yeah, totally. And a great learning experience for me is how long refinement takes, right? Takes a while, right? You got to consolidate, figure it out, you know, get everything right and then go. And I think that we've seen, particularly over the last quarter, growth is starting again. And I think it's going to be a fun run to get to really move that into 2020.
Great stuff. Jim, really appreciate your time. It's always great to reflect back on the past 12 months. And, you know, hopefully this time 12 months we'll be able to do the same again and talk about how 2020 was the year of growth. So I really do appreciate your time. If there's anything else you want to say to the listeners before we go, now's your chance.
No, I appreciate everybody tuning in and continuing to tune in, because I think that that's a big part of how we do measure that impactful piece. So if anybody wants to have a conversation about anything, particularly on those topics I'm reading about, just shoot me an email at jim@opexfit.com or come find me on social. I'm happy to chat.
And Jim just does not sleep. I mean, I'm 7 hours ahead of him, and like I literally would email Jim and it's probably about like 5:30, 6 a.m. and the man's up, like, you know what I mean? And he just gets back to you straight away.
The thing though is, Robbie, I'm generally asleep by about 8:30 or 9. So I'm sleeping. Fine, but I'm up early. So
yeah, true. Well, listen, you're the exact same as me, man. I'm a early guy and up early, because people are like, man, you're up at like 5, and I was like, yeah, but I'm in bed at 9.
Right.
So exactly. Yeah. So for all the listeners, really appreciate your earbuds as always. Always great to talk to the man himself, Jim Kroll. But for now, for everyone listening, you probably won't get this podcast till after Christmas, but right now it's before Christmas. So I hope everyone did have a great Christmas, and if this comes out after New Year, a great New Year. But for myself and Jim. And until next time, peace.
Thanks, guys.